The following contains content that is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
The Devil and Mrs. Tremblay. Written by Craig Moody. Narrated by Jessica Caruso. Tan. The days slowly flowed into weeks. I did my part. I fed the babies, but Edgar did most everything else. He was in love with them. It was so clear to see. This not only annoyed me, but it also infuriated me. I felt jealous and isolated. He doted over them like a proud father when he knew full well those weren't his biological children. They were the living, breathing reminder of my infidelity. How could he love them so? How could he be so proud of them? Edgar kept the babies with him in the living room at night. He wanted me to get as much rest as possible. I did sleep for the most part, but some nights I would just walk the length of the bedroom back and forth, staring out the window, waiting to see the devil. He never came. I waited and waited, night after night, but he never came. Even when I asked him to, even when I spoke out loud to both him and Joe, still nothing worked. I couldn't conjure him when I so desperately tried. I even thought about sneaking over to Molly's to see if we could speak with the devil through her tarot cards, but I decided it was best just to stay home and wait for him to come to me. I knew in time he would. Dr. Johnson paid a visit. He examined me, the babies, even Edgar. He was worried about our lack of proper nutrition. He said something about raising food donations with neighbors and others in the community. Brother Tom said the same. He was going to have the church congregation take turns bringing us supplies and meals. I never said a word. I would simply stare at everyone, disconnected and uncaring as to what they thought or what they had to say. I just wanted them all to go away. All of them. Especially those damn crying babies. The babies cried constantly, day and night. I would feed them, but hand them back over to Edgar immediately afterward. Edgar said something about them needing their mother's touch and affection, but I refused. The only reason I fed them was that he insisted. I knew he would rip my breasts off my chest if he could. He didn't need me. He only needed my milk. I was only here to feed his babies, the babies he didn't even make. I despised him for this. Finally, a month or so after the birth, the devil called for me from beyond the window.
Soon.
His voice thundered, causing my eyes to jolt at the sound. What's soon? I asked, pressing my hands against the glass. What is soon? The devil nodded before disappearing completely, gone without a single trace. No! I cried. Come back! What's soon? I lay awake the rest of that night, talking out loud to the devil, demanding that he return and answer me. What did he mean, soon? What would happen soon? Although I knew in time the answer would be made clear to me, my impatience still demanded the peace of knowing now. The next day, the lack of sleep made me feel like I was living outside of my skin. I spent hours berating Edgar with truths and insults. They look just like their daddy, don't they, Edgar? I grinned. Just like their daddy. Edgar ignored me, carefully clamping the girl to my breast. You know who their daddy is, don't you? I continued, my voice low and deep. Come on, Edgar. You can say it. Edgar would always stay silent. He would twitch or grimace a bit when certain things I said would hit a nerve. My intention was to hurt him, to taunt him. I needed him to know how alone and forgotten I felt. Those damn babies took every bit of Edgar away from me. He only tended to me just a few times a day, ensuring some food and water. The neighbors were arriving daily, meats, pastries, vegetables, you name it, in tow. Although I had pretty much fully recovered from the birth, I still felt too weak and unable to venture down the stairs. I remained in the bedroom. If I wasn't in the bed, I was in the bathroom. If I wasn't in the bathroom, I was staring out the window longing to see the devil, either in full form or appearing as Joe. One night, I asked Edgar to stay with me in the bed. "Stay with me, Edgar," I cooed. "I need you." I lifted my nightgown to expose my womanhood. "It's healed. I need to feel you." Edgar just shook his head. "I can't," he whispered, his eyes focused on the floor. "I need to be with the babies." "Fuck those babies," I raged. "You're my husband and I need you. You need to fulfill your duties as my man." Edgar leaned down, kissed my forehead, and exited the room. "I'll kill him," I screamed after him. "I'll kill those little fuckers. I mean it." Edgar didn't return until it was time for the next feeding. I was completely consumed by my anger. I breathed it in and out, out and in. My every thought was angry. My every word was threatening. Even when Edgar reappeared, forcing me to feed the babies, I would lambaste him with insults and threats of violence. "I'll drown him, Edgar. I will. You just..." He struck me across the face, hard. So hard I saw stars flash before my eyes. I pulled the boy from my breast, causing him to cry. "Get out," I seethed. "Get out and don't bring those bastards back here again." To my complete shock, Edgar forced himself against me. He pressed his open hand over my face, pushing his palm over my mouth. He moved his head to the side, keeping his knee locked on my abdomen. I couldn't move. I was completely pinned. I tried to flail my arms and legs, but his body weight prevented any movement whatsoever. He helped the boy latch back onto my breast. I did my best to shake him free, but Edgar had full control. I tried to bite his hand. I did anything and everything I could to prevent him from winning, but he was unrelenting. He fed both babies and then exited the room. Had I known what he was going to do to me the following morning, I would have run away in the night. "Those babies are bastards," I howled when Edgar returned with the twins for their morning feeding. "They should be stoned, drowned, it says so in the Bible." Gently, Edgar laid both babies on the end of the bed. I sat a kick in my legs, hoping to toss them off. Edgar grabbed my face and slammed my head against the wooden headboard. "You stop this," he spat, his words wet and dripping. "I'll kill you myself if you harm them babies." "They ain't your babies," I screamed so loudly that both infants started to cry. "I made them with another man. They are bastards, products of adultery. They should be killed." Edgar struck me across the face again. He had never once laid a hand on me in nearly 2 decades of marriage, yet he had now struck me twice in less than 24 hours. I only became more infuriated. Just as I started to lunge from the bed, he grabbed my wrists, clamped them tightly, and pressed his knee into my abdomen. "Oh," I bellowed, "you're hurting me." Without a sound, he pulled a rope from his pocket and started to tie my wrists together. "No," I screamed. Before I could react, he pulled another rope from another pocket and started on my ankles. He crossed the room, slid the chair that stood in the corner, and moved it toward the bed. He then lifted me into the air, sat me on the chair, and then proceeded to tie another rope around my belly. I screamed with all my might. I felt my lungs quiver as I exhausted every bit of air and strength they had left. Edgar had moved to the bathroom, returning with a damp washcloth. I opened my mouth to scream again, but he shoved the wet rag over my tongue. Now, bound to the chair and muzzled by the washcloth, I was his prisoner. One by one, he connected each baby to my bosom. I tried to move and shake, but to no avail. He had tied the rope so incredibly tight that any large movement was not only impossible, but also painful. I felt like my flesh would break open and bleed if I squirmed too much. Once done, Edgar took the babies and returned downstairs, leaving me tied to the chair. The days came and went, and I was forced to remain in that chair. Edgar would visit twice a day, outside of the feedings, to clean me of waste and force me to eat. As always, he would simply ignore me as I hurled hurtful words and insults at him. I refused to eat or drink the first day or two. I would spit whatever he put into my mouth right back at him. But after suffering deep pangs of hunger and a dry, parched throat, I consumed what I was given. By the end of the week, I had stopped resisting completely. Like a captive heifer, I was milked by the mouths of the infants and left to wait until my next time of need. By the end of the second week, I no longer spoke a word. It was a Saturday night when Edgar sauntered into the room to untie me. My arms and legs had been numb for days. The pain had given into silence. Nothingness. I cried out in agony as the ropes dropped my arms and feet to the floor. My entire body followed. Carefully, Edgar scooped me up and carried me into the bathroom. He stripped me naked and placed me in the tub. I lay there until he returned with the kettle, slowly filling the porcelain sphere with hot water. The liquid crept up and over my flesh like a slow-moving fire. It was both painful and wonderful. It was the first bath I had in weeks. Quietly, Edgar knelt beside the tub and began to wash me, carefully and lovingly. He slid a warm wash rag over my skin. He pulled me forward so he could focus on my head and hair. I didn't say a word as he worked. "I love you, Edith," he said softly as he massaged my scalp with his fingers. "I'm only doing what I have to do. I have to look out for those babies." He paused for a long moment before continuing. "I have to do what's best for you." Ma said nothing. I just kept my eyes closed and enjoyed the ecstasy of his touch and the constant heat of the water. "Once the babies are weaned, we're going to get you the help you need." I opened my eyes. "Dr. Johnson has already made the arrangements. Everything will be handled. I already promised a percentage of the crop profit to the hospital. Even if it means working until my back breaks completely, I will get you the help you need." I felt my anger rise. "Dr. Johnson promises me you'll feel much better once we get you there." "Does he know you have me tied up like a mule?" I asked, my voice dry and hollow. "Well, no, but fuck you, Edgar," I interrupted. "I don't want to hear your mouth no more. Just shut up." Obediently, he resisted saying another word. He washed and dried me and then took me back to the chair. "Why can't you tie me to the bed?" I asked. "I would rather be on the bed." He hesitated, darting his eyes from me to the bed. I'll need more rope, he confessed. I heard myself cackle. Go on, then, I growled. Go get more rope. After a long pause, he decided to tie just my ankles together. He lifted me into the air and loaded me softly and tenderly onto the center of the bed. I'll be right back, he whispered, his breath sweet with the smell of strawberry filling. I imagined he was eating like a king down there with all those neighborly meals and desserts. I said not a word as he exited the room. As soon as I heard him walk off the front porch and toward the shed, I sat up, kicked my combined legs onto the floor, and stood to my feet. It took me a moment, but finally I was able to adjust my balance and hop toward the door. I flung it open and hopped to the top of the staircase. Slowly and carefully, I maneuvered down each step, holding on to the banister for dear life. To my surprise, I made it to the first floor far quicker than I had assumed I would. I hopped into the kitchen, as I had imagined the kitchen table was completely covered with dishes of pies, cakes, meats, and greens, and bowls of fruit. Starving, I leapt to the table and smashed my hand into the chocolate cake that lingered near the edge. I pulled a vast portion of it into my mouth. I could feel the chocolate frost and smear and spread over my entire face as I crammed more and more of the Moore Center over my tongue. It was then I heard one of the babies coo. I felt an instant surge of anger and adrenaline fire through my veins. I knew I didn't have much time. Edgar would be back in the house at any moment. I hopped and hopped until I made it to the side of the bassinet. Both babies stared back at me. One of them smiled and cooed the moment it saw me. The other just stared inquisitively, perhaps pondering the mess on my face. I reached down and grabbed the one who only stared. I lifted it until we were eye to eye. I never really paid much attention to their faces when Edgar would bring them into the room for their feed-ins. I would mostly zone out during the process, unfazed and uncaring as to the details around me. Now, though, I was connected to every facet and feature of the small child's expression. He looked exactly like Joe. I mean, identical. It was as if Joe had spat on the ground and this child had formed from the saliva. I felt myself smirk. My God, you look just like your daddy, I grumbled. There was a mixture of remorse, longing, and fear that channeled into me all at once. For the first time ever, I felt connected to this being. I wanted to hold it close to my breast and nuzzle it, but as fast as that feeling found me, I heard the voice, the devil loud and thunderous. It was the first time he had spoken to me since I had been tied to the chair.
Soon,
the voice echoed. Soon, I repeated, seeing my own reflection, my face completely plastered with chocolate cake, staring back at me in the curious gaze of the infant. It was then I felt the urge to squeeze. The urge to harm. Edith! Edgar gasped as he flung open the front door. What are you doing? Just talking to our son, I replied, keeping my eyes fixed on the smiling infant in my hands. That's Bella, our daughter. Bella, I scoffed. How awful! Who said you get to name him? Well, I figured I... His words trailed into silence. She's cute, I continued. They both are. Edgar moved until he was standing right beside me. Carefully, but intently, he pulled the girl from my grasp. Yes, he agreed. They're both beautiful babies. They look just like their father, you know, I replied immediately, feeling the ongoing tinge of jealousy that had been plaguing me since their birth fire through my brain. Just like Joe, Edgar, they look just like him. I stared at his face, hoping to see him express a bit of pain, but he didn't. He simply smiled at the child, kissed it, and returned it with the other inside the bassinet. "I see you found the cake," Edgar declared as he brought his attention back to me. "It's dry," I stated coldly. "Who made it? One of the pasty church wives?" "Molly Jefferson," he answered, causing a surge of fire to race through my entire being. "What was she doing here?" I snapped, my anger seething. "She and Bill came over with Brother Tom, just as many others have done. They heard about the twins' birth. They heard about our situation with the food, and all they heard about your ill..." He cut himself short. "My illness," I finished his sentence. "You going around telling everyone I am ill? Crazy?" Edgar's eyes flashed an honest pang of panic. I could see he was struggling to form his next set of words. "Well, it ain't me saying a thing, Edith. I'm always here. It's Dr. Johnson, Brother Tom. They're out there getting us the help we need." I glanced at him, hoping the inferno in my eyes would somehow scorch his skin. "Come," he said, moving toward me. "Let's get you back upstairs." "Oh, no," I shouted. "I ain't getting tied back up in that room." "I don't want to tie you, Edith. If you'll agree to behave and behave," I bellowed. "What am I, your child, your servant? You don't get to tell me how to behave." I felt dizzy as I hopped back into the kitchen. My eyes scoured the counter until I found what I was hoping to see, the large kitchen knife Edgar had been using to slice the chocolate cake. It was still covered and coated with the delicious frosting. Hopping as fast as I could, I managed to make it to the counter and to the knife. Just as I clamped my fingers over the handle, Edgar shouted, "Stop!" I spun around, knife in hand. We stared at each other for what felt like an eternity or more. And finally, I smirked and hopped toward him. I saw him hunch into a readied stance, intent on overpowering me. To his surprise, I fell into a squat position and sliced the blade of the knife through the tight rope around my ankles. I stood up, now free, and tossed the knife onto the table. It sunk into the middle of the cake. "I'm leaving," I announced, strong and certain. "I ain't staying here no more. If you won't take me to New Mexico, I will go there myself." "Edith, please," Edgar whispered, slowly moving toward me. "No," I screamed, halting his movement. "I ain't staying here. Not another day, not another night. I ain't staying here another hour." I stumbled a bit as I walked toward the living room. "You can stay here with those crying monsters," I shouted as I neared the bassinet. "Call Molly Jefferson over. You two can fuck after she tries to feed him with her dry old titties." Passing the staring babies, I kicked open the front screen door and walked out onto the front porch. The early spring air swirled around me. I closed my eyes and inhaled deeply. I started to move forward when I heard the cock of the shotgun. "Turn around, Edith," Edgar demanded. I didn't hesitate. I spun on my bare heels, smirking as I laid my eyes on my weaponized husband. He was aiming the shotgun directly at me. "You ain't leaving till I get them babies weaned," he declared. "After that, you can go wherever you want. I don't care." His final sentence blinded me with rage. "Oh, I know you don't care, Edgar," I spat. "You never cared, never. No wonder I was forced to find love elsewhere. No wonder I'm now out of my mind. No wonder it's all come to this." "That ain't true, Edith, and you know it,"
I have always loved you. I have since I first laid my eyes on you. I never stopped, not even when you betrayed me. I glared at him, the barrel of the shotgun glimmering in the sunlight. I wish you had, I confessed. Perhaps that's why I did it. I wanted you to be hurt. I wanted you to be mad. I wanted you to stop loving me and let me go. I saw a flash of pain wash over his face, and for just a moment, I felt true empathy for him. I never wanted this, Edgar, I whispered. I wanted to leave this place like my sister did. She got to run off to California and take Mama with her. I was left behind, forgotten, left to be a farmer's wife and try and have his babies. And you know what? All this time, it was him who couldn't have them, not me. I was always able, so it took being with another man to make it happen. Edgar lowered the gun, but I stayed where I was. Keep the babies, Edgar, I huffed. I just want to be free. I just want to go. I just want to be the me I have never been able to be. I saw tears stream down Edgar's trembling cheeks. I fell to my knees, my own tears stealing my breath. Edgar ran to me, tossing the shotgun into the nearby grass. Under the glare of the springtime sun, we held each other and wept, our pain clear and connected, yet completely unspoken.
Hi, I'm Craig Moody, and I want to thank you for listening to Craig Moody's Novel Bites. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please like, follow, and subscribe to this podcast to be notified when the latest episodes are released. Print and digital editions of my previous titles are available through all major retailers. For more information or for links to my social media, please visit craig-moody.com. Until next time.